Boker Tov, and welcome back to another ongoing series of Shirim and Daf Yomi. We're now in Ketubot Daf Tzadi Tet Amud Bet, at the fifth and penultimate Mishnah of the 11th Perek, again dealing with the sale of property on behalf of a widow. And in our Mishnah, we will deal with the circumstance where the Beit Din under or overestimates the value, and as a result, causes the sale to be made in such a fashion of the property of the heirs in order to pay the widow. Shum hadayanim shepichatu shtut o hosivu shtut. If the Beit Din estimated, and it was more than a sixth greater than or lesser than the proper market value, which is the normal shear for ona'a, which is overreaching in selling metaltalin, but it does not apply to karkot, mechran batel. The entire sale is void. He says, no, the sale is valid. Why? Because imkain makoach bedin yafeh. Because otherwise, the integrity of the court will be called into question. And so to maintain it, we maintain that the sale is valid. We'll see how far this can go, how much of an error they could make before the sale, even according to Shem Gamliel, would have to be invalidated. This is a consideration that is taken up chiefly in the fourth parak of Masachet Gittin, although in several other places in Shas, as far as maintaining the integrity of the court. We'll see another example of that in our Gemara. Now, avali masu igeret bikoret. If the Beit Din wrote a document that indicated that they had checked into this, it was thoroughly checked in, made public pronouncements about the sale at that particular price, and it was sold at that price, afilu machru shavem manev matayim, or shavem matayim manev, even if it was overpriced by 100% or undervalued by 50%, mechran kayam. So in other words, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel would certainly say that in any case, even without a public pronouncement, that would be valid. But Tanakama, who says that a sixth is the limit, that's only if there was not a public pronouncement made. If there was, then all the way up until 100 for 200 or vice versa, and perhaps even more, it's unclear if that's just an example or that's the range, would be valid. Ibayalu. Shliach Kaman. So the Gemara first asks the question, if there is an agent who is selling the property on behalf of the Almana, do we say that the Shliach will be like a Beit Din, in which case, according to Tanakama, he'll have wiggle room until a sixth, or is he considered like the Almana, in which case he has absolutely no wiggle room, as we saw in the previous Mishnah, that if she sells property of a Mona Bedina for a Mona, which is a very slight difference, the entire sale is invalidated. So they have two versions of what Rav Nachman said. Rav Amar Rav Nachman Shliach Kedayonim. He says that the Shliach is like a Beit Din, so he gets that wiggle room. Rav Shmuel Bar Bista Amar Rav Nachman Kealmana. The other version of Rav Nachman is that he said the Shliach is like an Almana, and let's see what the arguments are. Rav Amar Rav Nachman Shliach Kedayonim. Why? Ma Dayonim Lav Ledidhu. Just like the judges are not acting on their own behalf, they're acting for someone else. The agent is also acting on behalf of someone else, not for himself. Which is to contrast with a widow who is selling for herself. Rav Shmuel Bista said that Rav Nachman said the shaliach is like an almana. Why? What point do they have in common? Just like a widow is acting alone as a private citizen, so an agent is acting as a private citizen and alone, as opposed to afuki Beit Din d'Rabbi Minhu. Beit Din is not only more people, at least three, but is also acting as a public official. V'hilchata shliach k'almana. The halacha is, like Rava's version of Rav Nachman, that the shliach is, like Shmuel Bishnam's version of Rav Nachman, that shliach is like an almana, as an individual citizen, and no wiggle room whatsoever. Now, that means, indeed, that a shliach does not have any room to err. We're now going to invoke a Mishnah in Trumot that we saw in the previous podcast, but from the opposite angle. There we noted that the Shaliach is different than a Balabayit, in that his error is more limited. Here we're going to note that a Shaliach does have room for error in the case of Truma. So it's the same case. If a principled owner tells his agent to go out and separate Truma on his behalf, so he separates based on the amount that the Balabayit normally gives. Meaning, as we said in yesterday's podcast, The midoraita, the share of truma, is kolshu, is any amount. Midorabanan, it's 2%. But a generous person will give 1/40th. And a selfish person will give, a miserly person will give maybe 1/60th. So we find out what the balabayit is. But if you don't know what kind of guy the balabayit is and what kind of truma he gives, toreim, bevenunit achad mechamishim. You give the middle of the road path, which is exactly 2%. Now, pichet asura, osif asura, let's say the shaliach messed up, but it turned out the balabayit is generous, and he gave 2% instead of 2.5%. Or it turns out that the owner is really miserly, and he gave 2% instead of the 1.8% or whatever it is that the balabayit normally gives. Nonetheless, truma to truma, it's valid, which means he has wiggle room. So the answer is hatam kevin de ikat the torim ba'ayin yorav ikat the torim ba'ayin yafa amarle the hachia matich. In the case of truma, since some people give like this and some people give like that, the shaliach says it was a judgment call. I had a judge out there in the field what kind of guy you were. That's the judgment call that I made. It's not a factual error. It's an error in judgment, shall we say. Avalhacha ta'utahu. But here, if the shaliach sells land for under its market value, that's simply a mistake. And for that, it does go back. So the two cases really cannot be pitted against each other because the nature of the mistake is different. One is an objective mistake and the other one is a subjective mistake. Now, and then what do the balabayit say? Amar le loy bay lach lemiti. The balabayit will say to the shaliach, in such a case where he sold it for too little, in other words, the heirs will say, if you sold that land for less than stated value, that wasn't what I sent you for. Now, Armhuna bar Chanina Amar Nachman. Back to Nachman. Halacha kedivrei chachamim. In our mission, we rule like chachamim, which means that if they make such a mistake as a sixth up or a sixth down, the sale is invalidated. Which means that Rav Nachman doesn't seem to take into account the concern about makoach beitin yafeh. V'leid Rav Nachman makoach beitin yafeh. Doesn't Rav Nachman concern himself with the integrity of the beitin, as explicated by Rav Shimon Gamliel? V'am Rav Nachman Amar Shmuel. Right, so Rav Nachman now is quoting his Rebbe, Shmuel. He told me Shabbat Olachlok b'nichsei avihen, if heirs who are minors come, the father dies, and they want to divide up the land, Beitin, ma'amidin lahem apotropos, uvarin lahem chelik yafeh. So the Beitin appoints an executor who divides up the estate for them and gives each one a proper amount. Higdilu yicholim limchot. But when they come of age, they can protest that the part that the amount they were given was not correct. Rav Nachman did amar, but what did Rav Nachman himself say? He quoted his Rebbe, then what did he say himself? He could deal any cholin limchod, that when they become of age, they cannot protest. Why? Dimken makoach beitin yafeh, because that's going to ruin the integrity of the beitin. The beitin appointed somebody to divide the property for them, and that appointment and that division should be permanent, because otherwise, years later, they come and they protest, and they call into question, and we reverse it. All actions of the beitin are going to be held not only with some suspicion, but are not. Nobody's going to trust that they will be permanent, because I think, later on, somebody's going to protest and overturn them. So we see that Rav Nachman is very much concerned about makoach beitin yafeh, and nevertheless, here he passing the rules like chachamim. So lo kasha hadatau hadalotau. He says very simply, in a case where they really erred, then there's no consideration of makoach beitin yafeh, right? Because they really made a mistake. But if lo tau, if they didn't make a mistake, then we're not going to make any changes. So therefore, Rav Nachman says, in our case where they undersold or oversold the property, then we rule a chachamim, and the sale is invalidated. And we don't say makoach beitin yafeh. When does Rav Nachman say makoach beitin yafeh? When's a judgment call? And the apotropos divided it a certain way. He says, look, we're not going to call that into question. Well, wait a second. Idoloto, if you're going to say that the case of the executor with the property of the minors didn't make a mistake, but my cholimchot, then what are they protesting about if the amounts are correct? The answer is beruchot, that the executor divided it correctly as far as the allotments. This one's the bechor, and this one gets as follows, etc. But as far as we are in the property they get, that they can protest. One could say, you know what, I'm good friends with the neighbor on that side. That's the side I wanted. The other guy will say, I was planning on plowing this kind of stuff. I wanted this sort of field that's more in the sun or more in the valley or whatever it may be. So in other words, they're not protesting the amount of division, but just the locale of division, which means he really did not make a mistake. Now, Ki Atar Rav Dimi Amar, we have two reports that come from Eretz Yisrael about something that happened with Rebbe. Rav Dimi, our famous Tradent from Eretz Yisrael, came and said, Ma'asevi asa Rabbi kedivei chachamim. He reported that one time Rabbi ruled the chachamim, in which he reversed a sale of property in which it had been undersold for a sixth or more, or oversold. And Amar lefanav Parta benosho Elazar benem ben Parta ben benosho biyot ben Parta hagadol. So this Rabbi Parta from the Parta family, as it were, protested and said, Imken makoach beitin yafeh. He basically echoed Rabbi Shimon Gamliel's concern as explicated in the Mishnah. Ve'achzir Rabbi etamaseh. And Rabbi then made the beitin give it, made the beitin reverse the decision. Shall we say Rabbi reversed it and said the sale will stay, and the buyer keeps the land, and the sale remains as is because of the integrity of the beitin, which means that Rabbi ultimately ruled like Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. Now, that's one version of the story. Rav Demi Matnihachi, that's how he told. Rav Safra Matnihachi, he had a different version of the story. Masel Vikesh Rabbi Lasod Kedivre Chachamim. There's a story that Rabbi was considering ruling like Chachamim and saying that the sale has to be reversed, but he didn't act on it yet. Amar Lefanav Parta Benosho Belozov and Parta Benosho Parta Gadol, this member of the Parta family, said, Imken Makoach Beitin Yafet. He protested in advance of the ruling and said, Makoach Beitin Yafeh. So lo asa Rabbi Tamaseh. And as a result, Rabbi did not act on it, and indeed he let the sale remain and did not invalidate it. Now, Lema Bahakimi Palgi, perhaps the machloka between Rav Safra and Rav Dimi in reporting the case is that Mar Savar, Ta Bidvar Mishnah Choser, Mar Savar Enos Choser. Is it possible that Rav Dimi is reporting the case the way he did to point out that Tav B'Dvar Mishnah, if you make a mistake, we had this a while ago, if you make a mistake about a ruling that's explicit in the Mishnah, then it is reversed, the judge's decision is reversed, and Rav Safra says, no, it can't be reversed, therefore the story had to be that Rebbe never acted on it and was just considering it. Is that possible? Because after all, we know that everybody agrees, Tav B'Dvar Mishnah Choser, that if the judges make an error about something explicit in the Mishnah, it is reversed, so this really isn't possible. No, the Chuli Amash Tav B'Dvar Mishnah Choser, everybody agrees that if Tav B'Dvar Mishnah, it goes back. Umar Savar, Hachi Havimaisa, Umar Savar, Hachi Havimaisa. They simply disagree about what happened, what the story was. Everybody will agree that it'll be reversed. Rav Safra simply says, yeah, had Rebbe ruled that way, it would have been reversed, but Rebbe didn't go that far. He engaged Rav Parta in the discussion, or Parta engaged him in the discussion before he ruled, and therefore he was saved from having to reverse it. But it would have been reversed. Now, Rav Yosef, this is a statement we had a couple daf ago. Our Malta de Zvina, if an almana sells property, achrayuta yatmi, the achrayut of it is on the yatomi, meaning if the almana sells property, the widow sells property to collect her ktubar, to collect mizonot, and it turns out that that property is already mortgaged, and therefore a lien holder comes and seizes the property from the buyer, he then comes back not to the widow, but he comes back to the heirs. Beit din de Zovin, achrayuta yatmi, and the same thing is if the beit din sells on behalf of the widow. The buyer does not come back to the widow. They certainly don't come back to the Beit Din. They come to the heirs and say, the land of yours that I bought turned out to be mortgaged. You owe us, $100,000 or some same land or whatever. Now, Pshita, it's really a no-brainer. So, Almanalo Yitzrichale, the truth is the first clause here is unnecessary. It's tell me that when the widow sells property, the Achriyutz on the Yitomim, that's easy. The part that we needed about Rabbi Yosef's statement that was needed was the second half. That when the Beit Din sells the Zachreit on the Yitomim, and not so much the question of on who the Achreit rests, but the fact that there's Achreit at all. Mahu detema, because I might have thought to say, kol dezovin medina, anytime you buy through the Beit Din, which means when the Beit Din is auctioning off property of the estate, you're doing it based on the fact that Beit Din's pronouncements get everything out in the open, and if anybody has any claims on the property, they're going to come forward. And when you go ahead and buy it, you assume it's free and clear. Therefore, you will assume that there is no achrayut here whatsoever. And therefore, if somebody seizes it from you, you can't come back. Kamash Malan, that you can come back, and you come back to the heirs. Okay, the second part of the Mishnah, I have the quote from Shem Gamliel that said that even if they undersold or oversold by a sixth or more, nonetheless the sale is valid because of Koach Beit Din. Now, V'yad Kama, so how far will Rabbi Shimon Gamliel take this? Amar Funa Bar Yehuda, Amar Rav Sheshet Ad Palga. till 100% up or 50% down. Meaning, well, we'll see an example now. A land worth 200 for 100, that's 50% value. Or land worth 100 for 200, that's 100% markup. The deal is valid, and we'll assume that that is the extreme to which Rav Shimon Gamliel will accept it. Beyond that, he will not accept the validity of the sale. Now, Amar Meimar Shmeder of Yosef, Beit Din Shemachru Belo Hachraza. If a Beit Din sells without making the public pronouncement that they have to make every time that they sell property, Nasa Kemishatau B'Dvar Mishnah V'Chozrin. So Rav Meimar issued a ruling that itself is kind of strange. He said that if Beit Din sells without a pronouncement, it's considered as if Tov B'Dvar Mishnah, and the deal goes back. Nasu? What do you mean, it's as if? V'hai Tov, v'adai Tov, they certainly made a mistake. Right? The answer is that when you make an estimation to sell the heir's property, there's 30 days of announcing it publicly, so that anybody has a protest about it, about the amount or whatever it may be, will come forward. If you're doing it for hektesh, it's 60 days. That's every morning and every evening you make public announcements so that everybody hears it. So clearly, if the Beit Din sold without any announcements, they missed a major piece of what they had to do. So the answer is, now that ruling alone only told me that when you're selling property of the heirs, it's announced for 30 days. That doesn't tell me when Beit Din's doing it. Maybe that's when a shaliach is doing it. Right? Aval Beit Din lo, so kamash balan, that's why a Meimar said, no, Beit Din has to do it, and if they don't do it, it's called Tov B'Dvar Mishnah, and the ruling is reversed. The sale is reversed. Now, Eitav Rav Ashi le Meimar. So Rav Ashi challenged the Meimar from our Mishnah. If the Beit Din under or oversold by a sixth, according to Chachamim, Mechran Batel, the deal is invalid. So Hashav V'Shav Mechran Kayam. So clearly from our Mishnah, if they sold at proper value, the sale would be valid. My love, Delo Achruz, and isn't our Mishnah referring to a case where there was no Hachraza? Lo, Bida Achruz. No, it's a case where there was Hachraza. So Hamid is safer, Bida Achruz. You can't say that, because since the end of the Mishnah is clearly about a case of Achrazah, because it says if there was an Igeret Bikur, if there was a letter of that they had made announcements, then we accept even a larger under or oversale. So therefore, the first case has to be a case where there was no Achrazah, and that's clear from the Mishnah. It must be that the first case is there was no hachraza. So how do we answer that? How could a Meimar say if the Beit Din never sells without a hachraza, it's Tov B'Dvar Mishnah, and our Mishnah clearly is talking about a case where they sold without a hachraza, and it's only because they under or oversold that it's invalid, but if they sold at proper value, it would be valid. The truth is, we don't make hachraza for everything. We make hachraza only for certain things. So what are they? What things do we not make hachraza over? Havadim, selling slaves, v'metaltalin, v'hashtarot. We'll find out why. Havadim tamamai. What's the reason we don't make hachraza about havadim? Shemayishmu v'yivrchu. The Eved himself might hear that there's a hachraza going about his value and everything else. He knows he's going to be sold. He might run away because he's afraid of who he's going to get sold to. Now, metaltalin or shtarot, what's the reason for metaltalin and for shtarot, which are easy to hide? Shema yiganvu, because then maybe somebody will hear, oh, these things will be transferring, it'll be easy to get a hold of them, and somebody may steal them. So we don't publicize that these things are going to be sold. That's one thing. So we see that there are things for which there's no hachraza, and that may be what's happening in our Mishnah. V'bayitem akan b'sha'asha machrizin, kan b'sha'asha in machrizin. Another distinction is to point out that there are certain times at which we don't make a hachraza. That's a little bit misleading. What it means is there are certain circumstances or certain needs for which we're selling for which there is no hachraza. And what's that? The Amri Nahardei, remember the famous statement of the Nahardei, L'charga l'mazoni ulikvura mazamnin b'lo hachrazta. If you have to pay the tax that the dead man owed on his property or in his own head tax from the previous year before he died that wasn't paid, you sell his parts of his estate to pay it, and you don't do achrazah, you do it immediately. Or if you have to give mizonot to the heirs or to the almana, you have to sell it immediately. Or you have to bury the guy who died, you have to sell it immediately, and you do that without a achrazah. So there are certain situations where you're not making achrazah even on land. V'bayitema, the third pasal is kan makom shemachrizin. There are some locales where they don't do hachraza. Kan makom shemachrizin. Damar of Nachman meolam lo asu igeret bikort b'nahardeya. In Nahardeya, they never did this igeret bikort. They never did a public announcement. Now, parenthetically, Savramina, we thought Mishum de Biki Bishuma, because in Nahardeya they're such experts on estimation, there was no need to publicly announce that we're valuing this land at this amount, because everybody knew the Beit Din knew exactly what they were doing. That's not the case. Amrav Yosef Barmanyume, the Didim Yifushal Liminate Mirav Nachman. I heard it directly from Rav Nachman why in Nahardeya they didn't do public announcements. Mishum de Kari Luhubne Ochle Nichse de Achrazta. It was disgraceful. The people who would buy the land were called, oh, these people who are buying up land at public auctions. And the whole thing became very degrading, both to the estate and to the Beit Din and to the buyers, so they stopped making the announcements. However, you know, Mar Shmuel, metaldalin shel yitomim, shamin otan umachrin otan la'altar. Let's say that you have metaldalin, you have to sell of the yitomim in order to pay a debt of some sort, like the ketubah. Then you sell them immediately. You estimate them and sell them immediately. He says, no, you sell them in the marketplace, which means may not necessarily be immediately. They're not disagreeing. If the marketplace is nearby, that may be in both in play space or in time. If market day is 2 days away, then perhaps you wait. If market day is a week away, maybe you sell them immediately. If it's fruit, perishable, something that may go bad. Otherwise, it may be just if it's physically closer or geographically close or not. Of Kahana, have be yodei shichra de Rav Meshashaya bar Chilka yatma. So Rav Kahana had this particular orphan's beer that he was holding on to sell on behalf of the Beit Din. Shai ad rigla, he held on to it until the regel, until the yontif. Amar afal gav de nafal beitzitzta, even though it may get a little sour, mighty zuza harifa, nonetheless it will sell quickly. And it's at the regal, everybody wants to buy this kind of stuff up, so I'm going to wait till I can do the best deal. In other words, he was in charge of seeing to the best way to sell this, even if it may be delayed. Ravina, Haviyade Chamra de Ravina, Zute Yatma Barachte. Ravina had his nephew, who was also called Little Ravina. He had some wine of his. Havi Ledide Nami Chamra. He also had wine. So Ravina had wine, and his nephew had wine. He was going to take his wine up to the town called Sichra by boat to sell it. He came to his rabbi, Ravashi, and he said, can I take my nephew's wine that I'm selling on his behalf with mine? In other words, mine, I'm willing to risk that the ship may sink and I may lose my cargo because I want to sell it. Can I take that risk with his? Take it, because it's no better than yours. In other words, you can't say that you have to guard his stuff more than you guard yours. If you, in the normal course of business, take yours on the boat, even though you risk the possibility that the boat will sink and you lose your cargo because that's how you sell your wine, do the same thing for him. Tov, we have completed this piece, and Amir Tzashem in the next podcast will complete the Perek, studying the last Mishnah on Daf Kuf Amud Bet to the end of the Perek on Kuf Aleph Amud Bet. Everybody should have a wonderful day.